So the trial of the Gun Trace Task Force officers, that case has gone to the jury. What have been your initial thoughts in following this trial over the past few weeks?
Well, it's one of the most important and disturbing criminal trials that we've ever had in our city, Julius. And you have six officers from an elite gun task force unit who have already pled guilty and admitted to engaging in a pattern and practice of criminality, robbery, stealing money, making false overtime claims that almost doubled the officers' salaries. And now you have four officers who are actually testifying for the government against the two officers who are currently on trial. We hardly ever see police officers on trial for these kinds of crimes. And to see that the code of silence has been broken and that police officers are testifying against their brother officers is something that's quite unusual.
The prosecutors have been trying to prove a point that nobody's above the law, but even though they've argued that these officers thought they were.
Well, they thought they were because they were targeting, for the most part, people whom they felt were drug dealers, people who they felt could not claim that they had been robbed and taken advantage of. And so they were engaged in this activity, and it wasn't something that just happened. This is, at least from the testimony that came out and the pleas that have been taken, this goes back at least 6 or 7 years. And in some cases, it actually goes back 10 or 12 years for some of the officers. So, you know, the real question here is, you know, where do we go from here? You know, there'll be a verdict on these cases, and we have the prosecutors have six guilty pleas. But how do you restore the trust of a department? Because every officer, and particularly the honest ones, the ones who are doing a professional job, they've got to try to restore the community's faith in their ability to protect them and to do good police work.
I read a story earlier. There are some public defenders who often question the testimony of police, said they were shocked by the sordid revelations exposed in the trial, saying there could be a few thousand tainted cases going back as far as 2008, and the state's attorney's office, Marilyn Mosby's office, saying roughly 125 cases involving these at least eight indicted officers have been dropped.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is surprised that in the courtroom, there's always been a sense that certainly at suppression hearings where you're trying to say that the police engaged in an illegal search of some kind, there's always been a feeling among the defense bar that some police officers engage in perjury while testifying under oath. I think the astonishing thing here is to actually get verification of that. And now, you know, when you have prosecutors who are certainly listening to defense lawyers in at least some of the cases, now the question is, where can we go with the other people who have been convicted or the other people who have been assisting these officers? Because it's very difficult for many people to believe that this is just a case of a few bad apples in the bunch. When you engage in this kind of activity over a sustained period, something has to be done to restore public trust.
So 32 witnesses, 3 weeks, and now the case has gone to the jury. This case came at a time when the consent decree was just getting monitors. How does this sit and mix with this consent decree?
Well, I hope that people who are part of the consent decree are monitoring this trial. I hope that they have been present in court during some of the testimony, at least, because the testimony fits within some of the allegations, at least, or some of the investigatory facts that have been set forth in the decree in terms of police engaging in unconstitutional and criminal acts. So what I would like to see is that the folks on the consent decree are moving forward speedily, that we're not looking for more delay. We haven't heard that much from the consent decree since the time that the selection was made.
One of the more disturbing allegations from one of the officers, Mamadou Gando, he claimed that slain Detective Sean Souter was not just an innocent bystander and was tricked by one of the officers in taking money. He said that Souter was taking money himself.
Yes, and it's, you know, one of the points that the defense made in closing arguments was for the jurors to really look closely at all of the police officers who testified, because each has something to gain in terms of their currying favor with the federal prosecutor. So I never know how much credibility to place when an officer is making those kinds of statements, but I do know that there are so many questions that need to be answered about the killing of Detective Souter, and the public simply hasn't gotten the information yet. There's so many unanswered questions here that that this trial adds to the complexity of the situation.
Yeah, and Detective Souter was killed a day before he was set to testify, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories going around about his death. And finally, a couple of things on the closing arguments. Defense attorney Jennifer Wicks said the government had a parade of professional liars. One of the U.S. attorneys said, you know, the officers said they preyed upon the weak and the vulnerable, and that was probably the last of the words that may have stuck with the jury, you think?
Well, I think the jurors are going to spend some substantial time reviewing testimony and trying to see which testimony they can credit and which they may have some difficulties with. I thought the lawyers on both sides did an excellent job here, and the real question here is credibility. And the only witnesses the government's going to be getting in these kind of cases, for the most part, are either going to be people who have engaged in criminal acts, and the question is whether they stand to gain something from their testimony, and then to look at the police officers, and people on the jury have to make their judgment about whether they find them credible or not. But there were four officers who testified here, and the prosecution had a strong case.
I know it's hard to predict what a jury will do, how long they'll be out, but what's your best guesstimation?
Well, I always look at Friday afternoon, which is tomorrow afternoon, as a key, because by then we ought to be either getting notes from the jury asking for testimony to be reread, which suggests that there is some difference of opinion amongst the jurors. Sometimes jurors like to conclude things by the end of Friday, so their weekend is free and clear. Not that they would be deliberating necessarily, but they would still be in juror mentality. So I think we're going to know something in the next 24 hours. At least we'll get an indication. I'm not saying we're going to get a verdict, although that may happen.
University of Maryland Law Professor Doug Colbert, he's been following the trial, giving us his insight. Thank you so much for your time with us at WEAA.
It's my pleasure, Julius.